The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and James Millman in the studio. A big day to look forward to as well with day one of the Grand National meeting at Aintree. Four Grade Ones on a superb card to kick off the action. We've also got Southwell and Taunton in the afternoon and Tipperary and Chelmsford in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio, it's Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm grand. Thanks, Mark. Looking forward to a 3-day entry festival.
Yeah, it's great 3 days coming up at the National Course. And we've got a pretty good day to kick it off on Thursday as well, haven't we? We'll move on to that in just a moment's time, Craig. But just as a whole, the meeting of the 3 days is brilliant, isn't it?
It is. It just seems an absolute age since Cheltenham.
It has been a week longer this year, hasn't it?
Yeah, that week longer. And, you know, with the flat season starting, we've had Doncaster. And it, you know, seems to have taken off a little bit this week with the likes of Redcar and Pontefract, Nottingham on Wednesday, and we're switching codes back to the hurdles and fences with an excellent 3 days at Aintree. So a little bit for everyone, Mark.
Yes, it is good stuff. We've got a good mixture over the next few days. Apparently the course as well, the clerk of the course, Andrew Tillock, is pretty happy with the state of the ground. It's obviously been quite warm, it's drying out, but a bit of watering and should be all systems go for good ground.
I don't think there'll be any excuses for any of the horses over the 3 days. It looks like it's going to be absolutely perfect. I think we're more or less have a settled forecast as well. So hopefully there won't be too any unexpected showers and won't be too many unexpected changes to the ground, which gives us punters more of a chance of finding those winners, Mark.
Yeah. As far as the big race is concerned, Craig, Shut the Front Door is 7-1, 9s for Balthazar King and Rocky Creek. The Druid's Nephew is 12, 16s for Cause of Causes. 20-1 for Alvarado and Sol, 22-1 for Godsme Judge and Spring Heeled, 25s or bigger. What are you siding with in the National?
It's not really a race I get involved heavily in betting wise, to be honest, but you know, you've asked us for a pick. I think it would have to be Rocky Creek, Paul Nichols. He does carry a big weight, but you know, I don't think that'll stop him, to be honest. He's only an 8-year-old now. So, you know, he was still a young horse when he ran in the race last year, and he ran very, very well. I think he finished fifth on that occasion. He's going to be much stronger this time around, and I think he's the class act. You know, I think Paul Nichols has a strong hand. I think Union East is another horse that could go well for Paul. So he has a very strong hand this year.
He does, yeah. And he's got five, hasn't he, I think, left in the race. So fair enough, yeah. So Rocky Creek for Craig. Yeah. In this year's...
Not a big price, I'm afraid, but...
No, 9-1.
I think, you know, with that experience of last year's race under his belt and being a more stronger horse, if you like, this year at the age of 8, he has to go well, doesn't he? I'll be surprised if he completes and he isn't in the places.
He went well for a long time last year as well, didn't he? Just came unstuck towards the end there, tiring a little bit maybe, and I don't think that experience will be lost on him, so yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Hopefully, Mark, hopefully that's the case, and, you know, he's proved his well-being this time around with a victory and a handicap carrying a big weight.
Yeah.
You know, that was a massive performance. So he comes here in good heart. So hopefully he can give punters a run for their money.
Yeah, hopefully so. Right, let's move on to the first day then, the Thursday of the meeting. We've got the first four races picked out, four Grade Ones to look forward to. We'll get Craig's thoughts in each of those on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We kick off in the 140, which is the Manifesto Novices Chase. It's a Grade One over 2.5 miles for 5-year-olds and older. We've got 6 of them in the lineup here, Craig. Which ones stand out to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, although I've never been convinced by Justice Hill as a chaser this year, he hasn't had an awfully hard time of it either, Mark. And he certainly improved with his fencing technique in the Arkell of Cheltenham. He jumped much better and he was staying on up the hill. And let's not forget, he came last year to Aintree after a good run in the Supreme, and he won the Grade 2 Novices Hurdle very, very well. on that occasion. So he handles the track well. The ground's going to be very much in his favour. You know, Nico de Bonville takes a ride. No Barry Geraghty. But, you know, I don't think... Hopefully that won't cause too much of a problem. But, you know, I think he's coming to hand, hopefully. And that step in the right direction with the way he jumped around Cheltenham will hopefully stand him in good stead here. So I think he's going to be hard to beat. You know, he's a class act, Justice Hill. And, you know, for the first time over fences, it was his fourth start. He looked the part of Cheltenham, although he was well beaten, as many horses would have been behind the impressive winner on the soil on that occasion. I think if he goes on from Cheltenham, he's going to be difficult to beat. I think the ground's probably dried out a little bit too much for Vibrato Valtat. He's got quite a pronounced knee action, and he does bring his knee up quite high, and I think he's definitely best on a soft surface. So I think the ground could have possibly dried out a little bit too much for him. The other one to mention, hopefully, will be a little bit of value if anyone, you know, does fancy taking on what's likely to be favourite Justice Hill, is Three Kingdoms. You know, he's shown his best form this year on flat tracks. He was disappointing at Cheltenham, but he's just a horse that doesn't act around Cheltenham. And, you know, he was very disappointing in last year's Supreme and bounced back at the first time of asking over fences at Leicester. So he's not a horse you should be writing off after a poor run on a track he doesn't like, Three Kingdoms. And the dry surface and the flat track with an emphasis on speed will be very much in his favour at Aintree, Three Kingdoms. He could be the biggest danger to Nicky Henderson's Justice Hill.
Yeah. Interesting how much difference there will be on the, obviously on a flat track, because he's got about 30 odd lengths to make up with Justice Hill, hasn't he, from the arc or so.
And for Vibrato Valtat as well. But, yeah. You know, as we said, and it's a common theme, but a lot of John Ferguson horses, you know, a lot of them are flatbred,
yeah,
that were big and backward and didn't really, you know, progress on the flat. Obviously, there is some high-class ex-flat recruits in amongst them, but, you know, flat track seems to suit his yards runners the best, and I think Aintree will be right up this horse's street.
But you'd still think Justice Hill
going
to be...
I think Justice Hill's a class act, and the way he won well here over hurdles, we know he hasn't reached that level of offences as of yet. But the Arkell run was the clearest indication yet that he is likely to match his hurdles ability over fences at some stage.
Moving on to the second race, then, the 2:15, which is the four-year-old juvenile hurdle, a grade one over 2 miles and one furlong. It's obviously for the four-year-olds. We've got a field of 10 of them here. And Hargham caught my eye, Craig, because he ran well in at Cheltenham, finishing third in the Triumph. But the ground was very much against him on that occasion. So this quicker surface on a flatter track, I think it will be right up his street.
Definitely, Mark. Has to be high on the shortlist here. And ever since he won at the trials day at Musselburgh back in early February, you know, he was at the top of my list for this race. I didn't want to be with him at Cheltenham. And he ran as I expected, to be honest. You know, travelled well into the contest and basically was beaten by two stronger stayers from the same yard, Peace & Co and Top Notch. But as you say, he travelled well for a long way in that contest. And I think with an emphasis on speed and a sharper track on better ground, he isn't the biggest horse in the world, and this will be his optimum. And he's going to take an awful lot of beating. He's another one that hasn't had a punishing schedule over the winter months in deep ground, and he'll be relatively fresh. He's just going to be very, very difficult to beat, Hargham.
Yeah, so Hargham, difficult to beat. Is there a way in you could play maybe without the favourite or an each-way angle that you like in there?
Yeah, well, you know, he's the horse that comes from the Triumph Hurdle. What we've got coming from Cheltenham form anyway is the handicap hurdle, Fred Winter. You know, that seems to be the pick, and Paul Nicholls has a couple of runners that ran in that race, Bovril and All Yours. I don't think either will be good enough, in all honesty. Bovril shapes like he wants further than this trip. All Yours did travel well, but I just don't think he's got the class. If I was looking for an alternative angle, it would be Bristol Des Moines, who missed the Cheltenham Festival. He ran at Kelso. I think he'll be better suited to a faster pace. He's going to make a real smashing chaser, this lad. There's a lot to like about him. He's strong, scopey type. He may just want a little bit more juice in the ground,
yeah.
But if there's to be an upset, he would be the one. But Hargham, very difficult to beat.
Okay, Hargham in the 4-year-old juvenile hurdle. And one of the big races on the day is the Aintree Bowl Chase. It's a grade one over 3 miles and one furlong. We do have betting out on site as well. As we record this, Holywell 7-4, 5-2 for Silviniaco Conti. Marfila is 7-2, 10-1 for Menorah, and 14s or bigger for the others. Great racing prospect this. Last year's winner, Silviniaco Conti, back to defend his crown after, kind of similar to last year, disappointing in the Gold Cup. But he's got Holywell to take on this year, who's obviously likes at Aintree. He ran better than Silviniaco Conti at Cheltenham. And how do you see it going, Greg? Do you see it between the two to start with?
Yeah, well, I thought Silviniaco Conti actually ran well in last year's Gold Cup prior to this mark, finishing fourth. You know, let's not forget, he jumped the last in front on that occasion, and he was probably outstayed by the three horses that finished in front of him that day. Now, you compare that Cheltenham Gold Cup run to his one we've seen 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a big difference. There was a big difference. He was arguably in much better form coming into the race 12 months ago. So, I have to say that, you know, of the Gold Cup form, Holywell comes out the stronger of the two. You know, first time he'd tried a grade one chase out of Novice Company, and I thought he performed reasonably well to finish fourth. You know, the front three all looked improving types, and the Holywell wasn't disgraced. So he's the one to beat, I would have to say, in this mark. But I'm going to take a chance with the mare down the bottom of Nicky Henderson's, Marfilil, who ran in a real strongly run Ryanair chase at the Cheltenham Festival, won by Uexandra. You know, the figures from that race point to it being one of the strongest of the festival. And Uexandra will be fancied by many coming back in trip next year for the Queen Mother Champion Chase, given how strong the form looked. So I think Marfilil is worth her chance in this race. She's another one. You know, comes here fresh, good form around Aintree. Won the Topham last year off a mark of 150. She's done nothing but improve, and I think she put up a career best in the Ryanair at Cheltenham. So I think she's the one I would side with.
Okay. So Craig's going with Marfilil in the ball, and onto the final race we're going to look at, the 3:25, which is the Aintree Hurdle, a grade one over 2.5 miles. Betting out for this one as well, Arctic Fire is the 7-4 favourite, 9-4 for Jeski, Rock and Ruby 3-1, 12 for Blue Heron, and Volnay de Tyne 16s or bigger for the others. We've got two former champion hurdle winners in this, in Jeski and Rock on Ruby, but we've got kind of the young pretender this year, if you like, Active Fire, finished second in this year's renewal, much improved all season, got closer and closer to the likes of Jeski and Hurricane Fly over in Ireland. Is it his time to get a grade one success here?
He's the one that has to prove his stamina for this trip, Mark, stepping up the 2.5 miles for the first time. Visually, he's given the impression, the way he runs on at the end of his races, he will, you know, stay the trip, but he's the type of horse that, you know, when a race is really hotting up, he doesn't get pushed into the race at that stage. And if you like, he's been picking up the pieces towards the end of his races, the way he's been situated. Now, I'm not 100% convinced he will see out this 2.5 mile trip as well as he sees it out over 2 miles.
Okay.
So at 7-4 or thereabouts, what price? I think we've actually priced him up at 7-4 for this race. I think he's got a couple of questions to answer, and he's very, very short in the market against a couple. You know, there's some strong contenders against him. So I think he's probably want to take on Aintree tomorrow.
Okay. Which one do you take him on with then?
I think Jeski's obviously the interesting one. He's only had one try at this 2.5 mile trip at Fairy House, and he won very well on that occasion. And he wasn't stopping, Mark, you know. And if you look at the horse's pedigree, there's plenty of stamina on the dam side of his pedigree. He's related to strong stairs over hurdles, the likes of Jetson, who we know is a strong stair over 3 miles. So I think this could be the making of this horse. Obviously, you know, everybody that wants to aim their horse at, when you have one as good as this at the Champion Hurdle, and you know, this Aintree Hurdle, this could be his for the taking. Jeski, I think 2.5 miles will definitely suit this horse, and the biggest danger could be Rock on Ruby, a horse that was beaten ahead in the race last year by the new one.
Yeah.
And let's, you know, again, you wouldn't say he's had the perfect preparation for the race. And that could be said last year because, of course, he ran in the Arkell prior to this. He missed Cheltenham completely due to a late setback this time around. He's had 98 days off, but you look at his record when he's been off on similar absences, and he's run really well. He isn't getting any younger at the age of 10. We know he handles the entry well. I think he's likely to prove the biggest danger to jet ski here. But I'm going to stick with AP McCoy. I think this could be a perfect opportunity for him to notch yet another grade one.
Yeah. Let's have a quick summary, Craig, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for day one of the Grand National meeting.
Yeah, 140, Justice Hill for Nicky Henderson. In the 215, the juvenile hurdle, we're going for Hargam to build on his promising run in the Triumph. In the 250, the ball, Mafalil for Nicky Henderson again. And finally, in the 325, Jeski for AP McCoy.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on the first day of the Grand National meeting at Aintree. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio with Dave Kellner. Craig will be in the studio and James Millman. It's all live from 1:30 p.m. on Thursday. We've also got Southwell and Taunton alongside Aintree, and we finished the day with a twilight card from Ireland in Tipperary, and all other action in the evening from Chelmsford City. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.